Hey everybody, I'm Logan Alec. I'm a CPA. I have some distressing news from the IRS that came out just yesterday. I'm going to go through this whole bulletin that the IRS issued yesterday. This is bulletin IR 2024-56. This was just released yesterday, the 29th. Today is Friday, March 1st. But basically the crux of it is that the IRS is going to be going after non-filers with an absolute vengeance. basically, the commissioner of the IRS, Danny Werfel, that's the head of the IRS, has said that not filing one's tax returns are the most basic form of non-compliance and can be indicative of criminal tax evasion. And he says, this is one of the clearest examples of the need to have a properly funded IRS. With the Inflation Reduction Act resources, that's the law that gave the IRS tens of billions of dollars and more funding, the agency finally has the funding to identify non-filers, ensure that they meet this core civic responsibility, and ultimately help ensure fairness for everyone who plays by the rules. This notice is basically saying they're going to start sending out a bunch of CP-59 notices. Here's a sample one here. This is just a notice the IRS sends when you don't file a required tax return. And the IRS has stopped sending these out to non-filers, but it sounds like they're going to be resuming the attacks on non-filers that we used to see and we haven't seen so much in recent years. Let's get back to the notice here, and let's actually just start from the top. Okay. And, you know, this is the way they always position these things. They're always saying, oh, yeah, we're just going to go after the high income non-filers, right? Because that's what's kind of politically correct, right? To go after the rich and leave everyone else alone. But, you know, that's not what's actually going to happen here. Yes, they will be sending these notices first to folks who have incomes of above $1 million and then to folks who have incomes below $1 million after that. But at the end of the day, here's what's going on, folks. The Inflation Reduction Act gave the IRS tens of billions of dollars in additional funding. Congress and the federal government is looking for a return on that money. And some of the lowest hanging fruit out there is for the IRS to go after non-filers, file tax returns on their behalf and without their consent. These are called substitute for returns, or SFRs. I made a whole video about substitute for returns. Link to that video at the top of the screen, probably above over my head right now. And then go to collect the tax based on the SFR tax liability the IRS basically made up. They didn't actually make it up. They just took all your gross 1099s and assumed you had no deductions against that 1099 income. And now, oh, look, you owe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right? Okay, no, we're going to take it from you, right? It's some of the lowest hanging fruit out there, IRS going after non-filers, right? IRS knows that. IRS knows Congress wants to see a return on this investment in the IRS. IRS knows that if they don't get a return on this investment, it will bolster Republican arguments in future Congresses to claw back some of that funding that the Inflation Reduction Act gave the IRS, right? So the IRS sees itself as under a magnifying glass right now, being scrutinized by the federal government. Is this investment we made in the IRS through the Inflation Reduction Act, are we actually going to get a return? And so I think we're going to see a lot more of these initiatives, just like this one the IRS announced yesterday, to go after non-filers, as well as those with assessed balances at the IRS. Let's just go through this from the top, though. Don't want to leave anything out. So here we go. IRS launches new effort aimed at high-income non-filers, 125,000 cases focused on high earners, including millionaires who failed to file tax returns with financial activity topping $100 billion. IRS sent this bulletin yesterday, February 29th, leap day, at 2:05 p.m. Eastern Time. So basically 24 hours ago. Okay. Washington. In the continuing effort to improve tax compliance and ensure fairness, the Internal Revenue Service announced a new effort today focused on high-income taxpayers who have failed to file federal income tax returns in more than 125,000 instances since 2017. The new initiative, made possible by the Inflation Reduction Act funding, begins with IRS compliance letters going out this week This came out yesterday, so I'm interpreting that to mean that they're going to start sending out letters today on more than 125,000 cases where tax returns haven't been filed since 2017. The mailings include more than 25,000 to those with more than $1 million in income and over 100,000 to people with incomes between 400,000 and $1 million between tax years 2017 and 2021. Now, a couple things here. When they're talking about income figures here, they're talking about gross income figures. Right? They're talking about your gross 1099, because the folks that they're going after the most here are folks with a 1099. Your W-2, you typically get taxes taken out of your paycheck, and we get people who don't, you know, they say they're exempt or they claim, you know, a whole bunch of exemptions and, you know, they don't get much taken out. But in general, for most of the folks that we see that the IRS wants to just rip apart for not file SFRs on their behalf, they're typically 1099 folks, right? Who might get, you know, truck drivers, especially that good examples, truck drivers. They might get a 1099 for $350,000. And the IRS is going to go out and assess tax just on that gross amount without giving them any deductions for anything, right? Many are owner-operators. They bought the vehicle, right? Their rig, whatever. Huge depreciation deductions on that. Oh, what about fuel? What about per diem? I mean, there's all these deductions, and that's just trucking. That's just one industry. But there's all these deductions that every business owner has. Every business has some kind of deductions. When the IRS goes out and pushes non-filers around, they don't give them credit for any of those deductions. They prepare the SFR on the basis of the gross amount and then go to collect tax from the non-filer on that gross amount. And it can really cause a lot of devastation because the IRS is simply overstating their liability. My point is, when it says $1 million here or $400,000 here, they're talking about gross. Gross, gross, gross. What's not clear to me? Well, look at this. It doesn't say $1 million in income per year. Okay, it's just talking about $1 million in income. So they say tax returns haven't been filed since 2017, right? So let's say they filed 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. It's 5 years, let's say, of delinquencies. $1 million in income, which is the highest kind of level here, the highest, the ones with the most targets on their back, all they would have to do to fit in $1 million is to average $200,000 gross a year over the last 5 years, right? That's gross. That's your gross income in your business, not including all your expenses, and which is going to be a lot more than you paid yourself, right? Because you got to pay your business expenses. Okay, so, and same thing with this. You know, it doesn't say between $400,000 and $1 million per year, right? It just says people with incomes between $400,000 and $1 million between tax years 2017 and 2021. Maybe I'm reading into that too much, right? But, you know, it's kind of vague, right? Maybe we'll get more details about this as the month of March goes by. These are all cases where IRS has received third-party information, such as through forms W-2 and 1099s. I would include K-1s on those too. IRS will prepare SFRs based on K-1s. If they see big K-1s, you have a target on your back, indicating these people received income in these ranges but failed to file a tax return. Without adequate resources, the IRS non-filer program has only run sporadically since 2016 due to severe budget and staff limitations that didn't allow these cases to be worked. With new Inflation Reduction Act funding available, the IRS now has the capacity to do this core tax administration work. This is what we have been suspecting. I made a video last year that the IRS is sending out revenue officers after non-filers. Revenue officers are highly experienced IRS collections personnel. They often have advanced degrees. Sometimes they have they are attorneys. They have a lot of experience at the IRS in the collections department. They're sending them after not the people who have assessed balances who the IRS knows owes millions of dollars. They're sending them against folks who simply have not filed their tax returns, right? This is a priority for the IRS right now. And the IRS has explicitly said as much just yesterday in this bulletin. And this is, you know, this phrase here, without adequate resources, the IRS non-filer program has only run sporadically since 2016 due to severe budget and staff limitations that didn't allow these cases to be worked. And we hear this all the time. You know, I haven't filed taxes in a long time, but the IRS hasn't reached out to me. You know, I haven't filed since I don't know when, but the IRS hasn't sent me any letters, any mail. That could be because you moved since the last time you filed a tax return, so the IRS doesn't have your most updated address. But it could also be, yeah, the IRS has pretty much ignored you for all that time. And now it sounds like they're putting targets on these folks' backs, unfortunately. Here's some more, another quote from the Commissioner Werfel. At this time of year when millions of hardworking people are doing the right thing, paying their taxes, we cannot tolerate those with higher incomes failing to do a basic civic duty of filing a tax return, said Commissioner Werfel. The IRS is taking this step to address the most basic form of noncompliance, which includes many who are engaged in tax evasion. This is one of the clearest examples of the need to have a properly funded IRS. With the Inflation Reduction Act resources, the agency finally has the funding to identify non-filers, ensure they meet this core civic responsibility, and ultimately help ensure fairness for everyone who plays by the rules. I kind of went over this at the beginning of the video. This week, the IRS will begin mailing these compliance alerts for failure to file a tax return, formerly known as the CP-59. About 20,000 to 40,000 letters will go out each week, beginning with the filers in the highest income categories. The IRS noted that some of these non-filers have multiple years included in the case count, so the number of taxpayers receiving letters will be smaller than the actual numbers of notices going out. What does that mean? Let me interpret it for you. That's basically saying the CP-59 notice, it's year by year. There's one CP-59 for each year, right? So look at the example here, right? It'll say the tax year that the CP-59 is for, in this case, 2017, right? So if you have someone who hasn't filed 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, they're going to get six CP-59s, right? So there's fewer taxpayers and notices going out. That's all it's saying, right? That's what this sentence means. The IRS know that some of these non-filers have multiple years, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, included in the case counts, the number of taxpayers receiving letters will be smaller than the actual number of notices going out. This is different than that LT-38 notice that went out recently from the IRS, which is basically including all the years right there on the first page saying, here's what you owe us for all years, and they give a breakdown later on in the notice. So IRS kind of give a standard advice here. People receiving these letters should take immediate action to avoid additional follow-up notices, higher penalties, as well as increasingly stronger enforcement measures. People in this category should also consult with a trusted tax professional so they can quickly file their late tax returns and pay delinquent tax, interest, and penalties. I like how they called out the tax professionals and said, hey, reach out to your trusted tax professional. And I will say this. First of all, let me say non-filers probably make up at least 40% of our client load of choice tax relief. This is something we work with non-filers day in and day out to get them discreetly back in compliance and into a resolution with the government. Okay, so we know this stuff like the back of our hand. I create a ton of videos right here on the channel on what to do if you haven't filed tax returns in years. Let's pop one up here at the top of the screen. There should be a link up there right now. But there are some other tax professionals out there who might be great, fabulous at ongoing, you know, timely tax return preparation work, right? That's the bread and butter. But when it comes to getting non-filers in compliance, there's some things that some of those, you know, Main Street CPAs don't know, right? Or EAs or whatever, taxpayers or whatever, right? So sometimes we get folks who their CPA, they filed tax returns for a non-filer that maybe they shouldn't have filed. They didn't even have to file because the risk of the IRS actually going back for those returns is so small. So why create this huge liability, additional liability for the taxpayer for some of these years when there's not really, the IRS probably wasn't going to pursue that year anyway, right? So it's those kinds of things, those kinds of tricks of the trade that we learn through experience and through our expertise in IRS matters pertaining to non-filers that can really give us at Choice Tax Relief a leg up. When dealing with these issues that appears to be at the top of the IRS's priority list. So apologize if that was a little too salesy, but you can reach out to us, Choice Tax Relief, 866-8000-TAX. That's 866-8000-829 if you do have an issue with unfiled tax returns or tax debt in general. Oh, I didn't finish this. Right, so it's talking about the delinquent tax interest and penalties. The failure to file penalty amounts to 5% of the amount owed every month, up to 25% of the tax bill. There's also special non-filer information on IRS.gov that can assist them. And the failure to pay penalty is going to be running too, folks, right? So there's a failure to file penalty, which is 5% per month or part of a month that you don't file a required tax return after the due date or the extended due date. If you got a tax return, like this says, it's 5% of the amount shown on the return, right? With a maximum of 25%. The failure to pay penalty, you're also going to be liable for that, right? If you owe money on the return, that's 0.5% a month or part of a month that the balance is unpaid, right? For the first 5 months, the fair to file penalty is reduced by the fair to pay penalty, right? But basically, at the end of it, if you go long enough without addressing this matter, the penalties alone for the tax year, for a given unfiled tax year, could be almost a full 50% of the actual tax due. Let's say tax due on the return is $20,000. There might be 10,000 penalties, right? Almost 10,000 fair to pay and fair to file penalty, not even including the underpayment of estimated tax penalty and not even including interest, right? There's no cap on the interest, right? So it can be staggering when we work with these folks who haven't filed their required tax returns, who unfortunately owe money on the tax returns. It can be staggering and sometimes shocking when they learn, look, this is how much we think we're going to owe, even using our methods, right? And we have some pretty proprietary methods at Choice Tax Relief to reconstruct business expenses based on industry averages and kind of things of this nature that we do to get our people's tax liabilities as low as possible. All right. Since the IRS is not aware of the potential credits and deductions, this is what I was talking about earlier, these people may have, the amount of potential revenue to be gained from this effort is uncertain. The third-party information on these taxpayers indicates financial activity of more than $100 billion. Even with a conservative estimate, the IRS believes hundreds of millions of dollars of unpaid taxes are involved in these cases. At the same time, some non-filers may actually be owed a refund. That's true. We see it, right? People who come to us, they were W-2, they had tax withholdings, taxes taken out, right? Especially with all this glut of, stimulus and child tax credit money that we had during the pandemic. A lot of folks who come to us, they are owed those refunds, right, for these years they haven't filed. Keep in mind that there's a 3-year time limit on when you can actually claim a refund. That 3 years start running from the due date of the return, the original due date of the return or the extended due date of the return if you filed for an extension. Right. So for 2020, the tax deadline was extended to May 15th, 2021. Right. So you have until May 15th, 2024 to claim a refund for the 2020 tax year. And there's some stuff in there in the 2020 tax year that's kind of unique. There's the first and second stimulus payments were in there. So if you didn't get your stimulus payments, right, you can claim that as a refund through the recovery or rebate credit on your 2020 tax return. That's probably a video for a different day, but I just wanted to mention that. If someone hasn't filed a tax return for previous years, this is the time to review their situation and make it right. Commissioner Werfel said, for those who owe, the risk will just grow over time, as will the potential for penalties and interest. These non-filers should review information on irs.gov. That can help, and consider talking to a trusted tax professional as soon as possible. I agree with that. Obviously, I'm biased. The new non-filer initiative is part of a larger effort underway with the IRS working to ensure large corporate, large partnership, and high-income individual filers pay the taxes they owe. Prior to the Inflation Reduction Act, more than a decade of budget cuts prevented the IRS from keeping pace with the increasingly complicated set of tools that the wealthiest taxpayers use to shelter or manipulate their income to avoid taxes. The IRS is now taking swift and aggressive action to close this gap, right? And there it is. There's a politically correct thing there, right? We're going after the rich and wealthy. Okay, all right. You might be sending all these notices, to the rich and wealthy. The rich and wealthy, right? They're not telling us how many of the other CP59 notices they're sending to people who didn't have year by year, or I don't know, might be combined income of $400,000, right? They're not sending notices to those people. It's just the politically correct thing, especially in election years, to say you're going after the wealthy. Right. But you and I both know that these wealthy folks out there, the wealthy cats out there, right, they know how to hide their stuff. Right. They're just more complicated cases. They're not as low hanging fruit as a 1099 truck driver or any other small business owner in the country who doesn't have tricky strategies up their sleeve. Right. So don't be fooled here. IRS is going to be going after everybody, but it's just politically correct to specifically focus on the wealthy. The IRS has a variety of efforts underway to improve tax compliance in overlooked areas where the agency did not have adequate resources prior to Inflation Act funding. How many times are they going to thank Congress for the Inflation Reduction Act in this thing? I mean, I get it. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. In fact, you should praise the hand that feeds you, but it's just kind of funny. For example, the IRS is continuing to pursue millionaires that have not paid hundreds of millions of dollars in tax debt. The IRS has collected nearly $500 million in ongoing efforts to recoup taxes owed by 1,600 millionaires, with work continuing in this area. In other areas, the IRS is pursuing multi-million dollar partnership balance sheet discrepancies, wrapping up audits of more than 75 of the largest partnerships using AI, as well as other areas. Now, folks, y'all know out there how fast AI is improving, right? It's going to be... You think the IRS it was scary now, right? When it's been horribly underfunded, technologically archaic. Oh, just you wait. Just you wait until all these tens of billions of dollars of funding rolls out. Plus the collections that the Treasury is going to get for these things. Plus with AI on its side. It's going to be something. It is going to be something. All right. Then it says the new non-filer effort focused on high-income taxpayers who haven't submitted a tax return as part of a larger effort to expand IRS compliance work to ensure fairness in the tax system. High-income non-filers. IRS actions escalate if tax returns aren't filed. People who don't respond to the non-filer letter, so that's a CP-59, will receive additional notices and other enforcement actions. Ultimately, this can lead to a variety of IRS compliance activity, including collection and audit action, as well as potential criminal prosecution. As part of this, the IRS can also take steps to file what's known as a substitute for return. That's what I talked about previously. If a person repeatedly fails to respond and does not file, the IRS may create a substitute tax return for the taxpayer. The IRS calculates the substitute tax return based on wages and other income reported to the agency by employers, financial institutions, and others. The return factors in the tax penalty and interest owed by the taxpayer. This tax return might not give the person credit for deductions and exemptions they may be entitled to receive because the IRS does not know each taxpayer's situation. Discussed this previously. In this scenario, the IRS will send a notice of deficiency CP3219N proposing a tax assessment. I have an example of that. You can see right there, notice of deficiency, right? And they can just they'll just send this based on the SFR. Right, that they prepared for you without giving you credit for any deductions, right? The taxpayer will have 90 days to file the past due tax return or file a petition in tax court. If the person does neither, the IRS will proceed with the proposed assessment. If the IRS files a substitute return, it is still in the person's best interest to file their own tax return to take advantage of any exemptions, credits, and deductions they're entitled to receive. Yes, that is true. But as many business owners come to us who haven't filed in many years, and they're like, I don't know what my deductions are. I didn't really keep good books. All right? We have a system for that at Choice Tax Relief. The IRS will generally adjust the account to reflect the correct figures. The tax return the IRS prepares for these taxpayers will likely lead to a tax bill, which, if unpaid, will trigger the collection process. This can include such actions as a levy on wages or a bank account or the filing of a notice of federal tax lien. If a taxpayer repeatedly does not file, they could be subject to additional enforcement measures, such as additional penalties and or criminal prosecution. And that is obviously not a place you want to be, folks. So I'm not going to get in too much to today in this video into what to do if you're a non-filer. I've covered that in other videos that you see here on the left-hand side of your screen. There's a video right up here. There's my playlist for all my videos pertaining to non-filers in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen where I get into all that. If you're a non-filer, you need help with this, contact us at Choice Tax Relief, 866-8000-TAX, or fill out the form at choicetaxrelief.com. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. I'll see you in the next video. Bye-bye.